We're continuing our study in the book of Proverbs, and we're up to Proverbs chapter 26. All right, so we're going to see the Lord has some more wisdom for us in this wonderful proverb here. Going to deal with some kind of funny issues, too, as we get in here. So Proverbs 26, verse 1. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. So this proverb's talking about things that don't normally go together, and they're out of place if they do end up going together. When these out of place things did happen, it would be quite a shock, and it could even be a disaster with this snow and summer and rain and harvest, because I've read that those things coming at the wrong time can ruin the grain harvest because it damages it and causes it to rot. So giving honor to a fool can also be disastrous. This type of fool in the book of Proverbs is arrogant and unteachable. They already think they know everything, and they're smarter than anyone else. So to give honor to this kind of person would make them 10 times worse. But it would definitely be out of place to give this fool any honor in the first place, because he wouldn't ever do anything that was honorable. He would be known more of a troublemaker rather than someone who would you would give honor to. Honor is not fitting for a fool. So the lesson is, if you have the opportunity to give honor to a fool, don't do it. It could be disastrous. Verse 2, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. So these birds are seen flying for a long time without landing on a branch or anything. So it appears that they don't alight on anything if you watch them fly. We've got some that fly over our field sometimes, and they just swoop and swoop and swoop, and you hardly ever see them go somewhere to take a rest. Well, that's the picture of a curse that someone has made against a person when it was unwarranted. That person did nothing to them to deserve to be cursed. So the picture is that if someone curses someone, but that person was innocent, you know, then that curse will not work, because God is not going to bring a curse on an innocent person. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 15, if you want to see this. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 10. Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent for interest, nor men have lent to me for interest. And notice the statement there, every one of them curses me. So he's done nothing wrong, you know, and he says, and still people curse me. So the encouragement is, it's not going to land on you. So just because all these people tried to curse Jeremiah, the Lord was not going to curse him, because he was innocent of any wrongdoing. So a curse without cause isn't going to land on someone just because people said it. No, that curse will not stick. One of the lessons here is, if a person has tried to spiritually curse you and you know that you haven't done anything wrong, then don't worry about it, because that curse won't stick. The next verse, verse 3 here in Proverbs 26 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. So these verses talk about dealing with a fool. And this is the same type of fool that we saw earlier. He is arrogant and unteachable. He already thinks that he knows everything and that he is smarter than everyone else. That's the same type of fool in all of these verses we're looking at here from verses 3 to 6. So the first one there, talking about the whip for the horse, the bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. A horse and a donkey, although they may be considered smart in their own respect, they're both considered dumb animals. So take from that what you will about the fool that's described here. But to control a horse and a donkey You need these tools or instruments that are listed here, a whip and a bridle. These are for inflicting pain and for applying pressure in order to control these animals. Now, if you want to control a fool or get him to move in the right direction, then the instrument of choice would be a rod. And the thing is, if a person doesn't want to learn an easier way, like this type of fool, for instance, who is unteachable, then in order to get something across to him, it might be necessary to inflict pain, and that's what the rod is for. So there's two applications from this proverb. Number one, if you have to deal with a fool, then realize that it's going to be a very difficult idea to try to get them to cooperate. Secondly, realize that if you want to play the fool, then this is how you're going to look to other people, like a fool. And that might be the reason they seem to treat you so harshly. So there's a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of a fool. Verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. So when a foolish person starts throwing their foolishness out, you better not enter that conversation if it's at all possible. As I say, sometimes when you end up arguing with a fool, you will end up looking like a fool yourself. Now, when King Hezekiah was ruling in Judah, the king of Assyria sent a messenger to him, and that messenger's name was Rabshakeh. When he arrived at Judah, he started to rant and rave about how Judah didn't stand a chance against the Assyrian army. And he mocked the God of Israel, he mocked the king. He was just full of it there. So what was the people's response to such foolish behavior? It says in 2 Kings 18, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For Hezekiah, the king of Judah, had commanded them, do not answer him. So it's going to be going to help the situation by people. I'm sorry, if it's not going to help the situation by people answering or saying anything, it's better just to leave it alone. So it says here, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. And like we say in our modern time period, you don't want to stoop to his level. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, this verse sounds rather strange after the verse before it. You know, these two verses show how complicated, though, how life can be. There are times when you just let a fool spew out his foolishness without you saying a word, but there are other times when you should speak up. For instance, if a foolish person is saying things that might negatively influence some innocent bystanders that are close, then you need to be rebuking that person using God's wisdom. That should let them see how foolish their behavior was and also protect others from following their foolish ways. So if you use God's wisdom to answer him, God's truth can't be easily refuted, then you'll be exposing his foolishness for all to see, including himself. So if someone would read these two proverbs together, they might ask, well, which one is it? Are you supposed to answer a fool or not? And the best answer to that question is, it all depends on the situation. Is the fool's rambling not hurting anything? Or is he actually affecting others with his foolish thinking? If he's affecting others in a bad way, then he definitely needs to be rebuked. Verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. So if someone would harm themselves by cutting off their own feet or by drinking in violence, which would be something harmful and dangerous, like drinking poison, then that's what it would feel like to send a message by the hand of a fool. You'll end up just hurting yourself because it won't be a good outcome. So the major point here is that if you have an important message you want to get to someone, then do not trust a foolish person to get it to them. You'll just be causing pain for yourself, and you'll be kicking yourself for doing it later on. Verse 7, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So this section gives a lot more insight about fools, obviously. And these are kind of quick little snippets here as you go through. So in verse 7 there, it's talking about the lame. And when their limbs don't work like they're supposed to, you know, that's the hearing of the hearing of a proverb in the mouth of fools is the same way. It just doesn't have the impact that it should have. The lack of respect you can have for a person like that can really make their message seem tainted. So coming from a fool, it just loses something in the translation. And the word proverb here symbolizes wisdom too. So it's saying that any wisdom that might come out of the mouth of a fool doesn't really help, because it makes it rather untrustworthy coming from a fool. You know, it really takes away from it when the fool says it. Just like it takes away what you expect, you know. If you see a situation where you see a person who's behind a screen or something and you think, oh, they're fine. Then you walk around the side and you see that they're in a wheelchair. So it's a shock. You're not expecting to see that. So here we have this picture of a cute, sweet little thing here. If it's an animal that's limping or something like that, you may have more pity for it than you do thinking how amazing it is that it's a cute little creature. But that may be the way you feel if you witness a foolish person trying to their hardest to sound wise. You may have some pity for them and say, wow, they at least tried, but it just doesn't work coming from them. Verse 8, like one who builds a stone and who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Now, if you saw someone trying to use a sling, but they decided to tie the stone that they were planning on flinging, and they tied it, strapping it tightly to the sling itself so it wouldn't fall out while they were slinging it, you know, you'd immediately think, well, that's counterproductive. And it could really backfire if that thing slings around and hits that person in the head. You know, you obviously don't want to get too close to someone who does that with a sling. In the same way, giving honor to a fool seems counterproductive. I mean, giving them honor, how is that going to help them? It's not. It'll make their head swell even more than it already is, and it could also backfire, because if you give them honor, then they might want to hang around you more and more, hoping for you to give them more honor. And as we know, hanging around with fools can have a bad influence on you. You know, honor should be given to those who deserve it, but a fool is not one of those people. It's not a very smart thing to do to give honor to a fool. Now, verse 9, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is going to cause pain, and that pain can last for quite a while because he's too drunk to see how to get it out. On top of that, his coordination has been impaired because of the alcohol, and his eyesight is too blurred to correctly identify the location where the thorn is stuck. And it may sound absurd that a drunk would do something to get a thorn stuck in his hand, but that's the point. It's absurd to think that a proverb or wisdom could come out of the mouth of fools. Fools have no use for wisdom, so why would they ever start saying wise things? That just sounds absurd. So verse 10, the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. So who gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages? The great God, who's our creator, the creator of all things. On the one hand, God gives them provisions for life. And on the other hand, he's the one who's going to judge them. It's the same great creator God. And in this, we see both the mercy of God and the justice of God. God's mercy is seen that he provides for them and sustains their life, even though they don't deserve any kindness from God. And God's justice is seen that he will judge them for not repenting. So God is at work in their life both now in the present by providing for them and in the future. Right now, they're enjoying God's grace, but unless they change in the future, they will suffer from his judgment. They didn't deserve his mercy and his kindness in this life, but they will deserve his judgment in the next. Verse 11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. You know, it's in the nature of a dog to return to his own vomit. And in the same way, it's in the nature of a fool to repeat his foolishness again. The Apostle Peter quoted this proverb in his epistle, and he used it to illustrate how repulsive it is in our nature as sinners to return to our sin and do it again. And that should be repulsive to us. And I found this guy's graphic description of how repulsive it is for a dog to return to its own vomit. And it's so nasty and yucky that I just had to share it with you. So here's your warning if you have a weak stomach to close your ears for a minute. But as nasty as this sounds, just realize that this is how nasty our sin looks to God. Okay, here goes. He said, here's the repulsive nature for a dog to return to its vomit. First, it sniffs it, then it licks it, and finally, it eats it. Isn't that a nasty picture? I mean, we naturally want to turn away from that when we see it happen, but we should really feel that way about all sin, because all sin is just that nasty in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So this describes the destructive nature of our own pride. There's an amazing truth here that there's more hope for a fool than it is for this guy in his pride. And honestly, there really isn't much hope for a fool to change and get better because this type of fool is so arrogant and unteachable. He thinks he knows everything and that he's smarter than everyone else. He's pretty full of himself, so he doesn't have much room to learn anything new. So what's that saying about this man in his pride who thinks he's wise in his own eyes? So a question, do we see ourselves as wise in our own eyes? One person said, well, you must, because there are things that you do and you don't ask for the Lord's help or guidance in doing them. You apparently thought you were wise enough on your own and you didn't need the Lord's input and guidance. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. You know, we sure are a mess without the Lord. These proverbs point that out. Verse 13, the lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So these verses are all about the lazy man, and the Lord rides him pretty hard. Verse 13 there where he's crying out, there's a lion in the road. It's a fierce lion in the streets. He'll come up with the wildest excuses why he can't go to work. The chances that there would be a lion on the road at that time period are about zero to none. And look at his vivid imagination. He said it was a fierce lion. So somebody who comes up with a large number of excuses why they can't make it to work sure brings a lot of suspicions on themselves that might lead a person to think that they might be under the category of a lazy man. Verse 14, as that door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed. This is a funny one if you picture it. You know, you can see this door going back and forth on its hinges. The lazy man just rolls back and forth in his bed. And just like that door, it's not going anywhere other than back and forth because it never leaves its hinges. So the lazy man isn't going anywhere other than just rolling over to the other side of his bed, because he's not going anywhere either. He's not leaving his bed. Verse 15, the lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. I don't know if you can picture these, but these are funny ones here. So a lazy man's trying to eat his meal. His hand drops into his food dish, and it's so heavy that he can't even bring himself to lift it out of the bowl again to take another bite. That's too much work. Now that's when you're really short on energy. Verse 16, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. This guy thinks he's figured out the best way to live by being lazy and doing as little as possible. And he may not do much else, but he does keep a pretty high opinion of himself. And even though he has great confidence in himself, he sure doesn't seem to do much about it. It must be a real shame to waste all of his abilities and wisdom, but I don't believe he ever stops to think about that. Verse 17, he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. You know, there's wisdom in not interfering when people are arguing with one another. Some people like that, they just can't let it go when they see a chance to jump in on somebody else's argument. They want to get involved too. They really give the impression that they love to argue. And even if they don't have an argument of their own going on, they don't mind stepping in on yours. And it's not too smart to grab a dog by the ears. That's a good way to get bit. Dogs don't appreciate that, and this guy is playing a dangerous game by getting involved in other people's disputes. This is a careless thing to do. He could get himself into something that he can't get out of, and he's probably going to make some people pretty angry at him, and it would all be needless. He could have minded his own business and gotten off a lot better. I'm sure you've heard the saying to choose your battles wisely. Well, this guy just goes head first into any argumentative situation he can find. People learn to avoid characters like this as much as possible. Verse 18, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. This is describing a guy who causes destruction everywhere. He throws firebrands, arrows, and death carelessly. In the same way, the carelessness of a man who pulls a stunt like this on his neighbor is being flippant and not thinking things through. People don't normally like to be around a guy like this. He thinks he's being cute and getting away with it, but a guy like this who enjoys playing tricks on his neighbor can wear out his welcome very quickly. Verse 20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, which is a gossip, strife ceases. A talebearer is somebody who just likes to spread gossip and rumors. And any wood is fuel for a fire, so if you stop putting fuel on the fire will go out. In the same way, you can stop hanging around with a gossip, and lo and behold, all the rumors stop. If you remove the wood from the fire dies down and eventually goes out. If you remove the person who likes to gossip from the scene, then all the ugly talking about people will stop. Verse 21, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And you ladies should be saying, finally, we got a contentious man. We've had a contentious woman all over here, but now a contentious man is pointed out. So this verse is talking about a guy who just likes to argue. He's contentious. He's compared to charcoal and to wood. They're both fuel to the fire when they're thrown in. So this contentious man is the same. He will keep the flames going when it comes to troublemaking. So as long as he is there, the fire won't go out. Excuse me, verse 22. The words of a talebearer or gossip are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. This proverb was repeated from Proverbs 18, and it's talking about how hard it is to resist hearing gossip. You know, those tabloids at the checkout at the store, they've made huge fortunes over that bad habit that mankind has of wanting to hear the latest rumors and gossip. And the downside is that when we hear these tidbits of things that we really shouldn't be listening to, they go down inside us like something that we swallowed. But that information can have effect on us, and it can cause us to think differently about someone. And once we start eating those tasty trifles, it is hard to stop. We can start craving some more juicy gossip. And a lot of people think that gossip is harmless and not much of a sin to be concerned about. But you have to ask yourself, if gossiping isn't such a bad sin, then why did the Lord choose to repeat it here in Proverbs a couple of times? It must be a lot worse than we think. Now we're going to do verse 23, and we'll stop after this verse here. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. Now some people can use their words to move people, and they give the impression that they really care about them, but that isn't true if they have a wicked heart that they are hiding. And the earthenware pictures something that appears to look good on the outside, but inside it's worthless earthenware. That describes this person that has fervent lips but a wicked heart. They may look very good on the outside, but once you learn what they're really like down in their heart, then you can see that they're a fake, a cheap knockoff. And once you find out what they're truly like, you had better avoid them and watch your back in the meantime. As we close here, let me say, if a person is listening, they don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have Jesus in your heart, then the truth is, you may look good on the outside, but you have a wicked heart on the inside that needs to be fixed. The only way to get your heart fixed is by coming to Jesus. You need to come to him while you're still alive. Don't wait until this life is over and think you'll get a second chance later on. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. So please, don't wait any longer. If you receive Jesus into your life, you won't have to face the judgment of God. As we read earlier, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So if you do that, Jesus already paid for your sins on the cross. If you trust Christ and receive him into your life, he took your judgment for you, so you won't have to. So if you want security and safety for all eternity, then invite Jesus into your life today. He's alive because he was raised from the dead. So call on him today. Let's pray, guys. Father, I thank you for allowing us a chance to come together today, and I thank you so much for fixing the electronics here so we could have our studies together and understand and hear. And Lord, as you give us this wisdom in your word, I know some of it you say in a humorous way, knowing that as we laugh, you can put that truth all the way into our heart. So help us receive this wisdom today. Help us learn from it and use it. And Lord, we pray for anybody who may be listening who doesn't know Jesus. I ask you, Father, to please continue to bring Jesus before them that they might receive him as their Lord and Savior. And Father, we just want to give you back all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.